Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our study on the Great White Throne Judgment. But before we begin today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to open up thy very words. Father, we just pray as your word goes forth today, Lord, that it would be used for your honor and glory. We pray for the saint of God who's listening today to be encouraged, lifted up, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by these studies, Father, we pray. And we pray for the lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the very day that they would fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive Jesus Christ is to receive life eternal itself. And Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to come. And we just pray your blessing upon our study today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I mentioned last time on the broadcast, we're coming near the end of the studies entitled Things to Come. And I'd like to hear from our listeners. If there's a topic they'd like to have discussed on the pastor's study, or maybe have some question that they've been thinking about, maybe for a long time now, when they'd liked it to be answered or given some scripture and some direction where they can find the answer. I'd ask you to please send in your questions or whatever you'd like to be discussed here on the Pastor's Study. If you'll do that, I promise to answer it right on the air. And you can do that by, again, sending me your question, suggestion, whatever it may be, to the address that will be given at the end of our study today. And then again, I also want to mention, you know, this study that we've been doing on things to come is all been recorded on audio cassette tape. And it's available to you if you'll just drop me a line, again, at the address at the end of the broadcast. So let's get back into our study on the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, our fourth point we want to look at is the judged of this throne. Who's going to be judged? As we have already mentioned, all those who have never been saved will be judged. Look again in Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 12. It gives us a description of who's going to be judged at this throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we see that regardless of wealth or poverty, power or position, pride or arrogance, they will be judged, small and great. From the person who scrubbed floors for a living, amen, or dug ditches, or sold newspapers, or whatever it was, that didn't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is going to be at this judgment. And then presidents, kings, queens, religious leaders, the very wealthy, you know, that made their money on Wall Street. If they have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to be there. Those in the entertainment field, singers, dancers, movie stars, television stars, all of those individuals who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to be there at this great white throne. Look at in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Notice, even those who have already spent years in hell will be released and judged. You know, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells us about the Lazarus, who was a beggar, and a rich man. And we know that Lazarus died and he went to Abraham's bosom. And then, of course, when Jesus Christ came to this earth and died, he shed his precious blood, was buried, and arose the third day. But he also went down in the sin of the earth, and he took captivity captive. He took those that were in Abraham's bosom up to the third heaven. That's where Lazarus is today. But that rich man, we were told, he died, he went to hell. Well, guess what? He's been in hell for these many, many years, but he's going to come up at this judgment, this great white throne judgment. Let's move on to our fifth main point, and that's the judgment of the throne. Look at it in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, my dear friend, when the sentence is handed down, it will not be 20 years or even life without parole. It will be eternity in the lake of fire. In other words, individuals at this throne, this great white throne, are sentenced to eternal death. Look also in verse 14 of Revelation 20. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death, my friend, is separation. Death, as we know it, is separation of the soul and the spirit from the body. This second death is the soul being eternally separated from God. The saved, you see, have eternal life, and the lost have eternal death. This eternal death is the lake of fire. Let's turn first to Matthew chapter 8 with me. Matthew chapter 8. It says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." My goodness. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, look at verse 30 with me. Jesus said, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We're looking at some descriptions of this lake of fire, amen. Matthew 25, verse 46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into life eternal." And then, of course, we just read here, Revelation chapter number 20, verse 15. And I suppose we really cannot read this enough. Enough times. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, this lake of fire, quite possibly, this is just speculation, this lake of fire quite possibly does not burn with a red flame, as we are accustomed to seeing. It may not even burn with a yellow, orange, or blue flame, as you may have seen. It could quite possibly burn with a black flame or a flame that is not seen, a sulfur flame. The unbelievers are cast into a lake of fire with dark black flame. They will not only be able to hear the screams of others in agony, they will not be able to see others in the lake of fire. Can you just imagine the torments and the heat and the eternal loneliness of those who are given this sentence? I just mentioned a little bit ago about how in Luke 16, Jesus gives us the account of Lazarus and the rich man. But it shows the rich man died, as I said, and went to hell. The interesting thing is that he had all his senses. See? The soul is eternal, my friend. The soul is eternal. I just want us to turn to Luke 16. And I want you to see this about the rich man. He had all his senses. He had his memory. Luke 16. Now, let's pick up at verse 23 for just a moment. We see that the rich man also died and was buried. That's at the end of verse 22 of Luke 16. But notice, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes so he could see. See? Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So, he could see Abraham, and he could see Lazarus, the beggar, who died. Now notice in verse 24, and he cried, so he could speak, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my, what, tongue. He had taste. He was thirsty. His tongue was parched. And cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. See this? He says, remember. Remember. In other words, the rich man had his memory intact. Because Abraham says to him, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I don't know if this rich man ever prayed. But we see here in verse 27, he prayed. He prayed for his lost family members that were still alive on the earth, because he didn't want them to go to the place that he found himself in. Verse 27. Then he said, this is the rich man, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. You see, the rich man wanted Abraham to resurrect Lazarus from the dead, to go witness to the rich man's lost family members and tell them, they don't get right with God, this is where they're going to end up. And of course, Abraham tells them, they had Moses and the prophet. In other words, they had the word of God to read. And if they didn't read the word of God and believe it, they're not going to believe one that comes from the dead. Amen. So the thing that we want to see then is the soul is eternal, my friend. Someone who is lost today, amen, dies, is going to end up in this lake of fire. Going to have all his senses and his memory throughout all eternity. See, I believe not, you know, there's going to be physical torment, but also emotional. Because that individual that's in that lake of fire is going to remember someone handing them a gospel tract, them ripping it up, or someone witnessing to them on the job, or them even going to a church house and hearing the gospel preached and rejecting the message. Amen. Let's look at our sixth point as we come to the end on our study of the Great White Throne Judgment. Is the just, the saved, in other words, the saved of the throne. Those saved during the millennium will be judged here. And of course, salvation during the millennium, there is an element of work involved. The Christians will not be judged here, but we will be spectators. And yes, this will be a horrible time for all. Seeing those who have rejected Christ receive their sentence. Those we should have witnessed to, those we worked with and lived near, sentenced to eternal death. See, there's a message to this, to all of us, all Christians. Let us do our job so that these lost people's blood will not be required at our hands. You see, the Christian is to be a watchman, to sound the alarm of impending destruction, impending disaster. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, look at verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. See, I know there have been times in my life, and I'll be the first to admit it, that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me to witness to someone, either hand them a gospel tract or go and witness to them one-on-one. And I've heard them clearly, and I've been disobedient. I've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you will admit that, listening today? See, our burden for witnessing should not be out of some contest in the church to see how many people you can get to say a prayer. That's what it's not about, my friend. What it's about is, and I think maybe it's a good idea to read that passage that we've discussed over and over and over and over again in this study on the Great White Throne Judgment, found over there in Revelation chapter 20. That we've discussed on this study about the Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Read it over and over again and let it sink in that those that are lost are going to end up in this lake of fire. See? And I hope none of us have the hard attitude, well, that individual deserved it. Yeah, they deserved it. Amen. We all deserved it. Let's not get puffed up. Everyone listening to my voice today deserved to die and go to hell and end up eventually in this lake of fire that we're talking about. But it's only because of the mercy of God that we're not there. That someone had enough of a burden to tell us how to be saved. See? Boy, as we discussed this Great White Throne Judgment, there's not only a message to the lost that are going to be there, but there's also a message to the saved, to you and I. And that message is, we need to witness. We need to witness about being redeemed and having your sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. My goodness, look at the cults. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're out with witnessing, feeding people a lie, and you know what? People are believing it. How dare us, who have the truth, who know the truth, are not giving that truth out to others who are lost. My goodness, can you just imagine? We're watching this Great White Throne Judgment take place. And an individual or individuals that God had given us the opportunity to witness to and we didn't, stands before that Great White Throne Judgment and is found guilty and thrown into that lake of fire. And we shouldn't have the attitude, well, they wouldn't have got saved anyways. No, that's not the attitude. We give them the message. We tell them how to be saved, and then it's up to them to make the decision. We can't make the decision for them. All we can do is we're messengers. We're bringing the message. See? I've heard it said that in the Gospels, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. See? And I think the reason for that is so it would sink in to you and I to realize what a place hell is. Amen? And that we would be busy witnessing to folks how they could avoid going to that lake of fire. Why do you think Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men? He uses us. He works through us. What a privilege. Amen. And we're neglecting that privilege. We're neglecting that responsibility. You know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about being persecuted, amen, or laughed at, or having a track ripped up. The main thing is, as long as you go and you witness and you do what God wants you to do and you be the watchman and you sound the alarm, don't leave the results up to God. Amen. Remember, Paul said, some sow, some water. God gives the increase. Leave that up to him. But do what you're supposed to do. I'm preaching to myself now, too. Holy Spirit convicts you. Give someone a track, witness to them. Do it. Amen. Sit down. Have a burden. As it says many, many, many times in the gospel, Jesus looked out and he saw the crowd, and what does it say? He had compassion. Not only had compassion about their material and temporal needs, but their spiritual needs more important. And that's what we need to do. We need to sit down and have a burden for lost souls. And that may be sitting and spending hours just listening to them pour their hearts out to you about their trouble and what they're going through. And you know what? You pray to God for the opportunity to say, and he'll give it to you. He'll open the door to tell that person how they can be saved, how they can have peace in their heart, the peace that passes all understanding. Oh, the problems may not be solved or go away, but they can have that peace of path that's all understanding. How? By trusting Jesus Christ and his shed blood and nothing else to save them, to give them a home in heaven, to give them eternal life. Not only give them peace with God, but the peace of God. My friend, will you be busy? Will you be laboring in the fields? Amen. And doing what you're supposed to do so that you won't have to be a spectator at that great white throne judgment and seeing someone that you should have witnessed to be cast into the lake of fire. Well, that's all the time we have on the broadcast of the Pastor Study today. Brother Gino Cassieri, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.